You can go ahead and be opening up to 2 Corinthians 1. The title I have on the page, what I thought I was going to be something along the lines of God Keeps His Promises. You know, we've had other titles like God Cannot Lie. And I like how Abraham, you know, he became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform it. And he really took that to the nth degree, because God had promised seed through Isaac, but before Isaac ever had any child, God asked Abraham to sacrifice him. I knew that for a long time, but then here recently, just, I don't know why. You know, the Holy Ghost has his job cut out to get truth across to me. How long can you read something and not see it, you know? You know that wood that they carried up on that mountain? See, Abraham's plan was not just to sacrifice his son. His plan was to offer him as a burnt offering. Can you say cremation? Can you see a pile of ashes? And Abraham was, what did he tell the guys when him and the boy left for the mountain with the wood? What did he tell them? I and the lad will be back. Now, he not only expected God to raise him from the dead, he expected him to raise his body up from the ashes. The longer you're in this, no wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. And he wasn't born again. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, I was going to teach along that line, and we'll go ahead and start there. I'm going to let this teaching flow, because I kept going, God, this is not what I was going to teach. I'm just going to let it flow the way he flowed it, okay? Because I think it's his mind for where we are right now. But I'm going to preface this. At the Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3, after Peter had spoken in the name of Jesus, and the man that was born lame was healed, and then all the people came rushing and going to make something special out of Peter. Now, even I'm going to preface this message by saying this. Peter says, why look you on us as if by our own holiness or our own power this man is made whole? He said, no, it is. Now, what was it? It is that name and faith in that name that this man is made whole. And I really recommend to you the Sunday night calling in the lost message called The Keys of the Kingdom. And you'll like it. But anyway. So the reason I need to preface that is you'll see as we go in here. See, at the same time that he says it's not by our holiness, does your Bible say without holiness, nobody will even see the Lord? Does your Bible say, be ye holy, for I am holy? So we're supposed to walk holy. Now, this is how he gets things across to me. Let's just take 100 believers, and let's just say they all matured into love, and all of them are walking holy. You got 100 holy walkers. Not holy rollers, holy walkers. God's using them to heal the sick. Well, he's using them all. The point is, we're all supposed to be walking holy. See, that's the thing. We're all supposed to. It's not because, like, here's a reward. You're walking holy today. I'm going to heal the sick through you. No, that's not what it's about. But we are supposed to walk holy. Amen. So anyway, I was getting all geared up here. And so this first verse on the promises that I was going to do, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. And that means yes. In him was yes. For all, say all the promises of God, now in him, that's important, in him are, I'm going to say yes, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. If you look up amen, it means so be it. So all the promises of God in him. But you notice how in him is in there twice? are in him, yea, or yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Well, that just means God keeps his promises. Everything that he's promised in Christ, as we walk in Christ, live in Christ, it's not yes and no. Yes, I'll heal that one. No, I won't heal that one. How about yes, I'll save it. See, it makes, you'll understand, if I go, well, yes, I'll save that one. Yeah, they're calling on the name of the Lord. I'll save that one, but I'm not going to save that one over there. Well, we know that's ridiculous. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we found out this year that healing is in the atonement exactly the same way that new birth, salvation, forgiveness is in the atonement. You can't separate them. God can't say no. He can't violate what his son has done. He can't say no on salvation if somebody genuinely repents and calls on the name of the Lord. He can't say no. Well, he can't say no on healing either. Now, we're getting there. We're getting there. All right? But it sure seems like in the natural he does, doesn't it? Well, you don't have to answer that. To me, it seems like in the natural. I prayed for a little baby. We prayed for a little baby in Arizona last week. How many of you know it's not up to the baby to have faith? We prayed. Other people were praying. The baby died. That is not God's will. Part of me, you know, like I'm human, like anybody else. I don't like it. I don't like failure. I don't like it when that happens. But you only got two choices. Quit or press in harder. Let's press in harder. I know that I know if we stay on this path, we're going to come to the place just because we're to look unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto him. And my Bible says he healed all who had need of healing. I'm pretty sure that's all. He just didn't heal the ones that didn't need healing. Oh, anyway, I like how that's worded. He healed all who had need of healing. I think that's everybody that needed healing. Anyway, it's funny to me. May not be to you. I like it. Now, notice in verses 19 and 20, the requirement for a promised yes is to be in him. Isn't that right? In him. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, so be it. So the requirement is to be in him. Now, every promise of God that you'll find in this Bible, every promise of God is his will. Isn't that right? If you find a promise, that's his will. All right? So every time you see the words like will and shall, I will this, you shall that, believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? Okay. That's a promise. So every time you find those words, those are promises. When we believe those promises and act on them, God cannot lie. And we will see the manifestation of the yes. And this brings glory to God. Okay. I like it. I have a little equation now. It said, when I find the word will, I have it on will and shall equals done. When I find a promise, either will or shall, like Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That equals done to me. Now go to 2 Corinthians 6. You're already in 2 Corinthians. How many of you know now, this is deep. I know you're going to be really glad you came tonight. Say this with me. 2 Corinthians 6 comes after 2 Corinthians 1. Paul is not through talking yet. He's still telling us how all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. All right, so let's go on to chapter 6 now. 2 Corinthians 6, we'll start in verse 16. It says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Boy, you can preach right there for a month. I mean, dear Lord. Then he quotes from the prophet Jeremiah and other places in the Old Testament. And he says, God hath said, well, he said it through Jeremiah, said it through some others, I will dwell in them and walk in them. You remember a few weeks ago I did a lesson titled, Honor the God Who Walks in You? We lose that awareness. God is walking in you. Let's keep going though. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. Now notice, and they shall be my people. That's a promise. But now notice, wherefore? That's kind of like the preacher used to say, when you find a therefore, you better find out what it's there for. Well, here, when there's a wherefore, you better find out what it's there for. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will, here's promises again. If you do that, see, this is, some promises are conditional. Now he says, if you will do this, then I will, you see, will, is that a promise? I will receive you. And will, is that a promise? I will be a father unto you. And ye shall, is that a promise? You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then go over one more. There should be no chapter heading. Why in the world they put a chapter change there? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these what? What promises? The ones you just said right there. Dearly beloved, because we have these promises. What promises? Well, he says, come out from among them. Be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And here's the promises. If you'll do that, I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, having these promises, dearly beloved, boy, if you underline, let us cleanse our neighbor. Let me show you all your faults. No? I think some people think there's a sixfold ministry. One of them's criticism, you know. The office of the critic. But anyway. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness, holiness in the Lord. Now say it with me. 2 Corinthians 6 comes after 2 Corinthians 1. And oh, by the way, 2 Corinthians comes after 1 Corinthians. Boy, aren't you glad? I mean, you guys, you're glad you came, right? I mean, it doesn't get much deeper than that. Let's talk about 1 Corinthians just for a moment. 1 Corinthians is really the only church that's called a baby church. Where Paul says, well, I can't even give you milk. I can't give you meat. I've only been able to give you milk. You bunch of immature little babies, I like to say, you bottle thumb sucking kids, all puffed up like you know stuff, no power. I'm not coming to find your doctrine. I'm coming to search out, see if any of you's got any power. They had open fornication in the church. What I mean by open, everybody knew it was going on, and they were attending church anyhow, like nothing was going on, but everybody knew it. What is the doctrine there? God's grace covers fornication. Paul says, well, we can't let that stay. That leaven will spread through the church. Everybody will think that's okay. We got to purge that leaven out. And 1 Corinthians is, so you got, and he says, all kinds of factions in there. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of Jesus. You know, got Jesus-only people already in the first century. You got divisions and arguments. And then you got, when they would get together, one group over here, they think they're more spiritual than this group over here. You think you can pray in tongues. I can pray in tongues louder than you. Then you got somebody prophesying. Oh, y'all hush that. I'm going to prophesy. It was pandemonium. A little baby split divided church with sin running pretty rampant in it. Pride running pretty rampant in it. And still, what book is it? where we find the gifts of the Spirit. It's that church. It's that letter. God is so loving and so wanting to use people, even in that babyhood, split, carnal, divided state. He was still using them the only way he could. He was using them in the gifts. And later on, he says, now covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. More excellent way than what? Remaining a baby on the gifts. You listen to that, you read that next chapter, that's the one that kills us all dead. What do we call that? 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. We like to think that's meat. Paul said it's milk. It's just who you are, really. It's the nature of God. All of that's already in you from the instant you get born again. Slow to anger. Yeah, right. Takes no account of a suffered wrong. If it wasn't in my Bible, I wouldn't believe it either. I know what you're saying. But the Bible said it's in you from the moment you get born again. That's the nature that he put in us. And all this mortification is trying to strip away living by the flesh so that the true light can shine who we really are in Christ. See, we're growing up. And that's 1 Corinthians 13. He says, grow up into love. Well, God is love. And Jesus is the express image of God. So that's why we look unto Jesus. Not the Corinthians. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's trying to mature us. We looked at Ephesians, I think, Sunday night, where the purpose of the fivefold is to mature the body, the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. And it talks about growing up into him, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. No more tossed to and fro by every wind. Grow up. He's talking about growing up, okay? Well, now, Paul wrote that first letter, and he told him, that guy that's openly in fornication, and it was really a bad one. It says, even the heathen don't allow this. And you're allowing it in the church? This guy is sleeping with his father's wife, and we hope to God that was his stepmom. But even then, that's, you know, you don't allow, that's no good. Just you, Lord, not me. He said, you put that wicked person out. We cannot allow that heresy. What heresy? God's grace covers fornication. Heresy. We cannot let that spread through the church. It will spread. It'll go through the whole loaf like leaven. Amen? So they did. They put the guy out. And Paul even says, Paul says, we're going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Why? That his spirit be saved in the day of the Lord. It's so interesting. He didn't say so. Your spirit. This guy, he's in danger of hellfire. Got it? Now that's another subject on another night. They did. So they put him out. Now 2 Corinthians, you'll find, he repented. And Paul writes plainly, okay, now restore him back to fellowship. And Paul was proud of them that they took his counsel and did what he said to do. And restoring this guy back. But there's still, you can tell from the 2 Corinthian letter, there's still problems in that church. Because let's look at the end of 2 Corinthians, right near the end of it. It's not in my notes, but. Now, this is the end of the second letter. See, there is improvement. They put that guy out. He repented. Okay, 1 Corinthians won't work. 2 Corinthians, give me a moment. All right. It says, look at verse 14 of chapter 12. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Boy, we need a lot of preachers like that today. Now, come on down, look at verse... how about verse 20? For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. In other words, when I come, this may not be the most pleasant reunion we've ever had. I'm afraid I'm going to find you like I don't want to find you. And if I do, you're going to find me the way you don't want to find me either. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whispers, swellings, tumults. Never heard of that in church, have you? But now this is the verse 21. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already. Now notice, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. See, if I read that and Paul's coming, and I know he has the kind of power that he operates in, I'm repenting. You better be repenting, and the church today better be repenting. Well, I've said all that to say this. You got to remember all of that in this context. There's still problems in the church. There's still fornication and uncleanness and all kinds of things going on. So now that's the end of 2 Corinthians, but we're in the middle right here at 2 Corinthians 6 now. Did I tell you go to 2 Corinthians 6? Yeah, we read that, didn't we? And you shall be. Now, let's look at it again now. He's trying to get them to understand. They're born again. You are the temple. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, here's promises. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Boy, those are good ones, aren't they? I want all that. Wherefore, you want that, do you, Gary? Wherefore, come out from among them. Be you separate. What's he talking about? Separate from what? The world. Separate from the world. Now, he's not calling us to be monks up on some mountain. We're supposed to be witnesses in the world to the world. But we are never to be of the world. Now, that's what he's talking about. Be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. Here's the promises. If you do that, I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, that's maturing, holiness in the fear of God. So the condition was this. Come out from among them, be you separate, touch not the unclean thing, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Now notice, Paul says you do it. Praying in tongues is a great help for that. But I really like how Alan, I was in the same trap Alan was at first. I think most of us were. Alan does, if you can't see me, I've got my hand in front of my mouth. Like when I pray in tongues, I'm like slapping. So, you know, shandala bakus. And I kind of thought that the purpose of the tongues was that they were just going to slap all uncleanness out of me. Like all the desire would just go, you know. So I was waiting to not want to sin before I quit sin. Gary, what was your sin? None yet. I'm not asking about your stuff. Come on. One of them was a nicotine addiction. You know that. What was the other ones? I told you they're none yet. Anyway. But I thought that the tongues were supposed to just slap it out. And I just lose all the desire. I just wouldn't want to do it anymore. But I do thank God for Pastor Dave, who again and again, one week he'd kill me, the next week he'd raise me from the dead. One week I'd come in, he'd say, are you going to let a little 3-inch cigarette dictate your life to you? You going to let a little plant rolled up in some paper lead you around like a dog? I mean, you know, just kill me. He says, ow, ow. And I'm going, yeah, I kind of am, you know. Just kill me dead, you know. Then the very next week he'd go, God will walk through hell with you, with your faults, as long as you don't stop doing those things that will one day spell your freedom. Oh, thank you, hallelujah. And I'd go out and pray and smoke some more. One time Brad came to the ugly building. That was in the ugly building days. And boy, I'd smoke like a... In the winter, it wasn't so bad in the summer, I could leave the door open. Wintertime, it's cold. I'm going to close the door. I'd been over there for a while. Brad shows up and opens the door. That wasn't the Shekinah glory cloud coming out of there, I'll tell you right now. He about knocked the boy down. Just a nicotine cloud, you know. But boy, I was praying. Now, I did not understand then what I understand now. If I'd have understood then, Nathan 101, if you know what I mean by that, if I'd have understood then better, and it's not that Dave wasn't teaching it, but I'm just slow. I didn't get it. I would have quit smoking a long time before. I kept waiting for the desire to leave. And that's not what it says. You're going to see it even more plain here in a minute. No, it says, the Holy Spirit will just change me. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Anything that lets me keep smoking. Anyway. But I found out, and I found out hard, you know. But see, I did keep doing what Dave said. I kept praying, I kept fasting. And he was so right. One day I had an encounter. Listen, you're never the same once you encounter the Lord. You'll have your own encounter. You keep at this. You know the story. He appeared to me. I can't even tell you what he looked like, but when it's Jesus, you know it's Jesus. And had a conversation with me. We were on a trip in New York, White Plains area, and just told me some things. And boy, from that's the last day I ever had a smoke. But boy, I found out. The desire was still there. My body was not cleansed of the desire, but it was up to me to go to war. And it was a war. It was tough. Now, y'all, I know a lot of y'all have been, you know, delivered off of heroin and all kinds of things. You all smoke and big deal. Well, I'm sorry. It was tough for me. Anyway, it was tough. But it worked. I've never had another one since, and I won't ever have another one. Okay? You understand? And I'll tell you this, those of you that's dealing with stuff, the day will come you really don't want it. You can train your flesh. You don't want it no more. There's nothing in me, and hasn't been for a long time, years. Nothing in me wants it. I can't believe I used to do it. You know, but anyway, that took a while. Now, I got to stay with it. I keep preaching instead of teaching. Okay. So now the condition again, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Come out from among them, be you separate, touch not the unclean thing, cleanse yourself. You see that? Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. What if I said it this way? Go to war with desire. Go to war with it. Well, my body wants it and wants it really bad. Go to war. Now, if we meet the condition, what he says there, if we meet that condition, here's the promises. I detailed them, what he said. One, God says, I will dwell in you. If that's all we had, that should be enough. But not only that, I will walk in you. God's promise, this God that cannot lie, I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. I will be your God. I like how he says that. I will be your God. You will be my people. He says, I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. And he says, I will call you. You shall be my sons and my daughters. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, what does that mean? What does it really mean? Now, don't turn to all these because Nathan's been preaching them hard. David's taught them for years. Do you know what it is? We make it sound, oh God, you're putting us back under the law. No, he put a law in you. Right. See, what he's really talking about is Romans chapter 2. You don't have to turn to all these. Verses 13 through 15. Let me read it. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they were never taught the law, they've never heard of the law of Moses, but when they get born again, They do by nature. I love it. There should be a new there. They do by new nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law, they still, nobody's taught it to them. They're a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. That's exactly what Nathan's been hammering on all year. How do you come out from among them and be separate? You follow the new nature. It's just real simple. Yield to the promptings of the nature. And if you try and stray from that, your conscience is going to smite you. Yield to that conscience. Yeah, but it's painful. The flesh still wants what it wants. Yield anyway. You got some really good promises. Okay, here's another one. Because how do you come out from among them and be you separate? Follow the new nature. Here's another one. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That's before you got born again. You were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then, here's the form of doctrine, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. See, that form of doctrine was not taught to me as a little boy growing up in a denominational church. What they taught us was you're just an old sinner saved by grace, meaning you're forgiven but not changed. Therefore, they took away all hope that you could ever walk free from sin. That's not scripture. That's not Bible. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You've been set free. It says right there, being then made free from sin. Well, that's not the form of doctrine that was delivered. It's being delivered to us today. Just plug in Nathan anywhere. Just pick any of them. Right now, you can't really teach on anything else. Like he's got me on healing. He's got him on walking free from sin. But see, what's sad is it's 2,000 years after the cross. It's 2,000 years after the resurrection. And we're having to learn that we're free from sin. We're having to learn how to come out from among them and be separate. That it's even possible. And we think we're big time believers. And we wonder why stuff doesn't happen when we pray. Again, I'm saying we're barely licked the ice cube, and you know, the top ice cube and the tall glass of tea God has for us. But that is changing. Here's another one then. Galatians 5, 16. You don't have to turn to all these. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. You should know these by heart practically. This I say then. Now, every time, I know in the King James it has a capital S every time here, but it should be a little s. He's not talking about you at war with the Holy Ghost. Your flesh at war with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about your flesh at war with the new nature. So this is how you come out and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. This is how you practically do it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. I want to say new nature for this passage so you understand what I'm talking about. This I say then, walk in the new nature, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did he say the lust of the flesh would just be gone? No, the lust of the flesh is there. That's why you have to choose to walk according to the new nature. The new nature says you're free from that. Pick whatever. Nicotine, alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever. Gossip, whatever. The new nature says you're free from that. Don't do that. But you've become addicted to it. Whatever it is. Flesh wars against. Well, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the new nature. The flesh wants what it wants. It don't care what your new nature wants. The flesh lusts against the new nature, and the new nature against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. And I kept expecting the tongues to just slap my flesh around to where it wasn't contrary anymore. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Bible says, my flesh is not saved. My flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. And I don't care what God thinks at all. But my spirit, that new nature on the inside of me, is born of God, hates iniquity, and loves righteousness. Now they're at war. They're contrary one to the other. He said to me one time, every minute of every day, one of them's winning and one's losing. And you can, your spirit can win one hour and your flesh the next. Do you ever have a great worship service and argue with your spouse on the way home? No, nobody ever did that. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the new nature. Now, in other words, if you're letting the new nature rule. Let the new nature rule. I had to do that for a year and a half with that cotton picking withdrawals. Boy, my flesh did not agree with it at all. Not at all. Okay? Time and again, time and again. No, 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 no. Don't have to do that now. I don't even want it now. But boy, it took a while to retrain that flesh. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And you're talking about under the law of Moses. You understand that? Here's another one. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. See, what these verses are all describing how you come out from among them. Be you separate and touch not the unclean thing. See, in the Old Testament, he gave them the law, but they had no power to keep it. There was nothing in them. There was no power to keep it. The modern grace movement, the radical grace movement, wants you to think that grace covers sin. No, grace empowers you to walk free from sin. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God has empowered us to do by the power of that new nature. And I love how Nathan said it Sunday. Don't tell me there's not enough power. That nature raised Christ from the dead. Don't tell me there's not enough power in it for you to walk free from sin. That very life, that nature, that life is what the Holy Spirit put in Christ to raise him from the dead. And it's what quickened you from death to life when you got born again. And it's got power. See, Ephesians 4, 22. See, I thought we were going to have a nice little service about the promises. I didn't know he was going to get into holiness. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Who puts it off? That you put it off. I keep waiting for God to put it off. No, he empowered you to put it off. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, in plain English, believe what God said. Believe what Jesus said. Believe what he said. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Having been made free from sin, believe it. And that you put on the new man. Who does it? You do it. Which after God is created, I like to say from the get-go, in righteousness and true holiness. The real you, the spirit you, is already created in that image. The real you is created in righteousness, true holiness. All those years that I continued to smoke as a Christian, I was just letting my flesh run over my spirit. That's just plain English. I was just letting my flesh do it and using all kinds of religious jargon. To excuse it. The truth of the matter is, I was free from the day I got born again. Now, I have growing up to do in my knowledge and growing the knowledge of the Lord and all that, but your new nature does not grow in righteousness. It's born fully mature in righteousness from the day you get born again. Homer Betancourt did a 30-minute service during the youth conference, and the title of that message was called The Power of Not Knowing. And what he meant by that, he'd only been born again 3 hours. Hadn't been to church to hear people tell him all this stuff is wrong. Been born again 3 hours. And the nature on the inside of him began saying, pornography's got to leave the house. You need to get rid of all that alcohol. you're going to quit running around on your wife. He says, I had never been taught any of that. I did not know externally. But there was a power on the inside of me. And I had to start obeying it or else. He wasn't going to walk with me if I didn't. And he'll walk with you, but like Dave says, he'll walk through hell with you. I don't want him to just walk with me while I'm walking, letting my flesh rule over me. Dear Lord, there's a new sheriff in town. It's called the new nature on the inside of you. He says, come out from among them, be you separate. Without holiness, none of us are going to see the Lord. Anyway. And that you put on the new man, which after God, in God's image, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now see, this is really, and I could have done a lot more. That's just one, two, three, that's four witnesses on how you come out from among them and be you separate and touch not the unclean thing. There's four, I could have done four more. See, this is the power of God's grace. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Man could not keep the law because the flesh was so weak. And he had a nature that liked sin. So God, through his mercy, put all of our guilt on Jesus. But he didn't just forgive us and leave us like we were. He put a new nature on the inside of us, which is his very life and nature. Grace didn't come just to cover your sins. Grace came to empower you to walk free from sin. That's the truth. We are not sinners simply called the sons of God. That's the doctrine I grew up under. No. We are in truth God's children, born of God's Spirit, born of his nature. And we are to walk as Jesus walked, talk as Jesus talked, and have the same results that Jesus had. Now that'll get you kicked out of just most churches in America. That sentence right there. See, God wants to... that passage, let me read it again to you now. You don't have to turn back to it. He says, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Now this is written to New Testament, born again, spirit-filled believers. He says, if you'll do that, I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you. You'll be my sons and daughters. I will dwell in you. I'll walk in you. Well, how do we do it? We follow that new nature that he gave us. Is it pleasant? Not always. See, God wants to treat us as sons. Now, the reason for all of this is revival. I'm going to say it again. It is not okay to pray for a little baby in Arizona or anywhere else and to pray in the name of Jesus and then that baby die. I'm not okay with that. God's not okay with that. I know you can make up a lot of religious excuses. I don't care about them at all. I know what Jesus would do if he walked in the room. And he intends to walk in the room through my prayer. Amen? Our prayer. Okay. See, God wants to treat us as sons. He wanted to treat the Corinthians as sons. God says, if you want me to treat you as sons, I need for you to begin walking as sons. But because they would not, and they stayed split, divided, carnal, fornicating, and doing all of these things and not repenting, he says, all I can do is use you in these gifts. Well, thank God for the gifts. We're not belittling the gifts. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts, but yet show I unto you a more excellent way. God does not want us to stay a baby church, always on the gifts, not knowing from one day to the next. Well, I prayed yesterday and the healing was there, and I prayed today and it wasn't. You're still on the gifts. Anyway, we'll teach more on that another time. God wants to treat us as sons, but he wants us to grow up and mature. There's Ephesians again, that we grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No more blown around by every wind of doctrine. No more tossed to and fro. Amen? See, have you got a witness for that? Well, you don't have to turn there. 1 John 2:6 says, now remember back there when I said it's really important to notice all the promises of God in him are yes and in him. Amen? How do you know for sure you're in him? Now, I don't mean saved, but let me just read the verse. You decide. 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. I'm in him. Back there in Galatians 5, it says, if we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. Well, I'm in him. All the promises. I'm going to take the Corinthian church. I can't get along with nobody. I'm puffed up. Oh, by the way, I'm living in fornication. But I'm in him. I'm in him. You're not walking very much as he walked. No, but I'm in him. See, that's the very leaven that Paul was so did not want spreading through the church. If you think you can live in open fornication and you're okay, you're in him, and grace covers that, no, you're not. You're deceived. I hear these verses. I marked them earlier because I knew it was coming. I just didn't know when. This one I want you to turn to. Matthew 7. Starting in verse 21. We've got a lot of deceived church thinking that they're in him when they're not in him. No, they're not. Charles Finney said his ministry was to the unsaved in the church. See, I knew this was going to be a shout and amen service. I said, Lord, I was going to teach on the promises. You know? Well, I am. Look at Matthew 7:21. See, I can understand why the radical grace preachers have to remove Jesus' teachings from their doctrine. And they do. I've read it to you before from their own books where they say, you don't have to pay any attention to Jesus' sayings before the resurrection. That was only to the Jews. Well, that's malarkey. That is absolute poppycock. Poppycock, well, you know, it's dung. Paul would say that's dung, okay? That's a real nice word. But see, they have to remove it because otherwise, look at this. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. Well, I'm in him. I call him Lord. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord. But not everyone that says that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, not saith, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, here they go again, Lord, Lord, you're my Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name and have we not cast out devils? In other words, we've been working for you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Probably the Corinthians did too to some extent. But what did he say? Oh, and in thy name done many wonderful works, but notice verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now notice, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How about a second witness? Go over to 2 Timothy. I want to show you, I'm after chapter 2, verse 19, but show you false teachers again. It was going on then in the first century. I will start in verse 15 to get to verse 19. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right there, anyone that says you don't need to study your Bible, I don't know where they're coming from. I just don't get it. My Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. See, now notice, ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. If you study that out, most scholars agree, when they were telling these people, the resurrection's already happened, it's too late, you just should go ahead and eat, drink, and be merry now. It's just, the resurrection's already happened. They're overthrowing the faith. In other words, you don't have to live holy anymore. That was going on then. But look at verse 19. Nonetheless, no matter what. See, that's, Paul calls that profane and vain babblings. Heresy. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Back here he says, depart from me, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And over here he says, you can say you know him. You can say you're in him. You better be departing from iniquity if you are. You better go to war with that flesh. Dave used to say, even a little baby rattlesnake's kind of cute, but it won't stay cute. That thing will grow up and kill you. And that's the way sin is. You don't play with it. You don't play with it at all. That thing will grow up, it'll kill you. Okay? We are in a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. In the old covenant, man had no capacity within himself to walk uprightly before God. He was bound by the law of sin and death within him. And it would override all of his good intentions. That's why God had to come up with a different way, a better covenant. The flesh was too weak. He couldn't do it. See, okay, don't have to turn to these either, but I got to. Here's the perfect picture of the Old Testament man who wanted to keep the law, but he had no capacity within him to keep it. He's not born again. It's Romans 7, verses 22 through 24. Romans 7, 22 through 24. I see people making notes. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, this is a guy not born again, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Now notice, and bringing me into captivity. In other words, it makes me a slave. It brings me, I see this law working in my members, and it brings me into captivity to the law of sin and death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And thank God for Romans chapter 8. Now you're talking the born again person. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now notice, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means the new nature. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What? Did it make you free or not? It did. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does that mean? We're back to Romans chapter 2. You have a law in your heart. God wrote it there the day you got born again. You walk after the Spirit. And if the flesh don't like it, tough. You got to go to war with it. That's the thing I didn't know. I could have been free. Well, I was free. I could have walked free years before I did if I'd have really understood you got to go to war with the flesh. Tongues don't slap that desire out of it. It helps build you up on your most holy faith where you can kick the flesh's hiney. How's that? Walking after the Spirit is coming out from among them. That's how you walk separate, by following the dictates of the new nature. Now, we're not under the law, we're under grace, which wrote the law of God in our hearts and minds and empowered us to walk free from sin. Now, I want you to underline this one. Go to this one in your Bible, Titus chapter 2. See, here's the real grace of God. If you don't already have it underlined, you need to underline it. Put little stars out in the margin, maybe eyeballs, right? Look, this is important. This is the real grace of God. There's no other kind but this. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation. How many wants any other kind? I don't want any other kind of grace. I only want the grace that brings salvation. Well, it has appeared to all men, teaching us. What does God's grace teach us? Denying. There is a denying ungodliness. That means say, no. Denying ungodliness. Who are you saying no to? The flesh. No. Denying. And the difference is you are empowered to do it. Amen. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the grace of God that brings salvation, and no other messages of grace do. Those grace messages say, oh, it just, you can live in fornication, His grace covers it, you're going to wind up in hell. What's going to happen? I hadn't even got to the sermon yet about will Christians wake up in hell, with air quotes around Christians. A lot of them that think they are. A lot of them that think they are okay, they're not okay. Oh my goodness, I'm already. Y'all okay? Was quiet. Thank you, thank you. See, we say we believe God's word. Okay, now, I am still teaching healing. Listen to me. What did Jesus say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe shall be saved, and those that don't will be damned, and so forth. But one thing he says, those that believe, one of the things, those that believe in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, we say we believe God's word, and well, we should. But in truth, we, the body of Christ, are just beginning to really believe the truth of what God has done for us at the new birth. What you believe, not looking at anybody. See, what you believe is seen by what you do and not by what you say. Now, that's the truth, and you know it in your heart of hearts. You know that's the truth. Now, it's good to say and make confession. We're all in stages of transformation. But the truth is, you are what you do, not what you say. Okay? That's why it says there, many will say to him, Lord, Lord, but they have never truly believed, because they never departed from iniquity. They didn't believe the gospel. He said, I've made you free from sin. They're going, no, you didn't. I can be saved and keep my sin. He goes, you're going to depart from me. Confession is fine and should be practiced by all. But the purpose of confessing God's word is to conform us to the image of Christ. To renew our minds, not just in the sense of education, but to allow God's word to literally transform us to the image of Christ. Not just to know we are free from sin, but walk free from sin. Here's some more promises based on will and shall. Remember, when you find the word will, And you find the word shall. Those are promises, aren't they? All right? You don't have to turn here. John 14, 12 through 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you. See, we skip over this part. He says, he that believeth on me. That believing is way more important than I ever thought. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. There's a promise. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But notice all of those shalls and wills are predicated on first, he that believeth on me. Believes what? That God will manifest all of the promises, whether we come out from among them or not. To believe is to believe the gospel, isn't it? See, radical grace teaches, I believe I can stay among them, not be separate. I can keep touching the unclean thing. God still dwell in me, walk in me, be my God, and I'm one of his people. I'll just continue in sin, and he will receive me and be a father to me, and I'll be one of his sons. I don't call that believing on him. That's not what he said at all. He said, come out from among them, be you separate, touch not the unclean thing, and then I will be all those things to you. So, is that what it means to be in him? What did Jesus mean when he says, he that believes on me? See, God is trying to mature the body into the fullness of the measure, of the stature of Christ. But the body at large keeps refusing to actually believe what Christ has done for us at the new birth. What we do tend to believe is our past history. We believe in our past failures. We believe in our emotions. We believe we are what we feel we are. And we also believe a lot of false teachers. So what is the result of not believing? To remain as baby Christians, still dependent on the gifts. Never grow up. I'm almost done. Somebody needs to go start the car. I'm getting out of here. It's way too quiet. Now thank God for the gifts. Paul said, covet the best gifts. I'm not coming against the gifts at all. Thank God for the gifts. But he said, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. It's a more excellent way than remaining a baby and just on the gifts. The more excellent way is to mature into the love of God. Christ is the express image of God. And as we are conformed to that image, we become a people separate from the world. Walking in love, God dwelling in us, walking in us. He is our God and Father, and we are his people. Then we go about like Jesus did. Jesus, he would walk up like a waiter. It's like behind him was the Father's table with everything in the world you could ever want. Everything. Salvation, healing, blind eyes opening, lame walking. You name it, it's like all here, and he comes up to you like a waiter at a wonderful restaurant, and he just says, what can I do for you? What can I serve you off of my Father's table? He's not waiting on the gifts. Now, thank God for the gifts. But bless God, we're going to grow up into maturity to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because really what he said, Father, as you have sent me, so I am sending them. Well, Acts 10:38 tells you how the Father sent him, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he says, as you have sent me, I have sent them. He's wanting us to grow up where we can serve off the Father's table, whatever the need is. Did you get anything out of that? Now, one more time. So how do you come out from among the world? How do you come out and be separate and touch not the unclean thing? You follow the nature that he gave us. You follow it, you learn, you train yourself. And if you fall 20 times a day, you repent. But get yourself in training. And go to war. Nobody has to tell you where your war is. I'm not looking at you any. My eyes keep locking and people, I don't want them to think I'm preaching at them, you know. Nobody, you know where your war is. You know what it is. Now go to war with it. Go to war with it. He has empowered you to walk free. We are going to grow up and walk as he walked, talk as he talked, and have the same results he had. That's what he said. The works that I do, you're going to do them also. Well, we're going to believe on him and actually do it.